You're listening to the John Stapleton Podcast, where we celebrate Jesus, analyze culture, and fuel our faith. You can find me pretty much anywhere by plugging in the username jstaples93. Let's get into our discussion. Welcome to the podcast. My name is John Stapleton, and today we are talking about 10 reasons why God is not listening to your prayers. And we're going to jump right in to the 10 reasons. The first reason is unconfessed sin. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." So this is probably something that you feel is a problem. If there is an area of your life that is not submitted to the Lord Jesus, then there is some distance between you and God. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, "The arm of the Lord is not too short to save, but it's your sins that have separated you from your God." And so there could be intimacy, closeness with God, but it's this other thing in your life, perhaps an idol. We'll just call it that. An idol is anything that takes the place of God in your life that is keeping God from answering your prayers. God's not going to help you do evil. God's not going to help you worship something that you shouldn't be worshiping. God's not going to help you live contrary to his will. That's the principle. The next reason is insincerity. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." So prayer should not be a show. And I've talked about this before in the series, but prayer should not be a show. When you pray, you're praying to an audience of one. God is the one that is listening. God is the one that you are petitioning. And God is the only one that should be having your... It's what prayer is for. It's who prayer is for, is God. And there are some people that don't care about getting close to God, about developing that friendship with God. Instead, they just want to impress other people. And if this is impressive, praying on the street corners, you're only impressing other religious people, which is not a good way to live your life. It's just, why would you do that? Why would you go impress religious people? That should not be who you are living for. Religious people are the most critical people. Let me just say this. You don't want to live your life trying to impress religious people, because one moment you please them and another moment you don't. What you should be living for is God. And so you know, when you pray in private and when you're cultivating this habit in private, are there times where you're called to pray in public? Sure. But it's not necessarily a show, because you already have that connection with God. Some prayer is private, some prayer is not. But you don't want to move in such a way where God doesn't listen to you, because you're faking it. Oh, you're just putting on a show for other people. And this gets into our next point: wrong motives. Wrong motives will totally spoil prayer. James 4 verse 3 says, "When you ask, you don't receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." So this is a gut check. We are to pray for things that we need, and we are to pray for things that we want. The reason, but what James is calling us to do here is ask ourselves why we want what we want. What is the motivation behind this petition? Are we asking because we need something? Are we asking because we want something? Why do we want something? Are we jealous of other people? Do we have a wrong motive there? Are we trying to move subversively? Are we covert? We really need to examine ourselves. And sometimes I think we ask God for things that we don't even fully comprehend the reason why we want them. Like, we don't know why we want what we want, but we're asking God for it, and God says no. And it's only through the passage of time you get that gained perspective of 5 months or 2 years where you're like, okay, no wonder God said no to that. That was a terrible idea. It would have led me down this path had he said yes. And he says, you ask so that you can spend it on your pleasures. You're not trying to serve other people. You're just trying to live for yourself. And God loves you, and God provides for you, and God does give you some things that you want. But again, the motive should be to serve other people. To serve other people. I think of it like being on an airplane. They say, you know, you need to secure your air mask before you secure that of the passenger next to you. And so, yeah, there is a point where we get what we need, we get what we want, because, you know, if we aren't doing well, how can we help anybody else? But there's a point to it where it gets selfish, where we're not pouring into someone else. We just want to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, and that's where it is misguided. The next reason is unbelief. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Notice the promise there. It will be given to you. There are some people that assume that God's not going to listen to them, so why even bother? Or I'm just going to do it, and, you know, if it hits his threshing floor, you know, if it hits his throne room, then that's fine. But he's probably not going to do anything about it. And God's like, well, why are you asking then if you think that I'm not going to do anything? I'm reminded of a story in Mark 7 where there is a father with a demon-possessed child, and he comes to Jesus and he says, hey, if you can heal my child, would you please cast the demon out? He tries to kill himself, and he's been like this since childhood. And Jesus responds with, if I can? Everything is possible to him who believes. So when we approach God, we need to believe that he's actually going to help us. And if he doesn't answer our prayer the way we think he's going to answer it, we need to trust that God has better providence for us than anything that we could ask, think, or imagine, as Paul would say in Ephesians. The next reason why our prayer is hindered is satanic activity. I would say this is probably less often, but this is still valid. Daniel 10, verses 10 through 13 says this, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Verse 12, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was deterred there with the king of Persia. This is awesome. Basically, so there is a spiritual world behind the physical world. There's a lot of people that they come to the Bible and they're like, you know, the Bible is a very naturalistic book and it doesn't have anything to say about the supernatural. Those are made up stories. That's myth. That's folklore. But really think about the world that we live in and ask yourself, is there any cause behind everything physical that I see? Behind every policy that I see, behind every move in entertainment and culture that I see, is any of that influenced by the spiritual realm? And the answer is yes. He's talking to Daniel, and he says, hey, another chief commanding angel officer of the heavenly armies had to help me fight the prince of Persia. Who's the prince of Persia? It's not a person. It's a spiritual principality. So there's a prince in Persia. There's a king in Persia. And then behind that prince in Persia is a spiritual force. And Daniel, in chapter 9, had been humbling himself. He'd been praying 21 days, and he was delayed almost a month because of the spiritual warfare. Angels are not omnipresent like God is, and so Michael and Gabriel were stuck in a battle against a leading spirit in a certain area of the world. And this explains why there are closed countries and there are red line districts and there are just places that are super hostile to Christ and his church. It's because our fight is not, as Paul says, it's not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual rulers in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places. And so Daniel got the answer to his prayer, but it was delayed because of some supernatural activity. The next reason why God will not listen to prayer, your prayer, is domestic problems. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will, here's the key word, hinder your prayers. If you're beating your wife, if you are rude to your wife, if you are belittling your wife, if you are treating her like garbage, she is the daughter of the king, right? She is the daughter, she's God's daughter, right? God cares about you as a son, God cares about her as his daughter, and God is not going to help you abuse his child. And so if you're living with your wife in an inconsiderate, abusive way, God says, you know what, I'm not going to help you with your job, and I'm not going to help you with the concerns of your heart, I'm not going to help you with your kids, I'm not going to help you in life, because you are not, I'm not going to empower someone to be evil. And that starts at home. Live with your wives in a considerate way. Because if you don't, God will turn a deaf ear to you, men. That's a promise. The next reason why God won't listen to your prayer is pride. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. You're familiar with this passage by now. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, pride, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The way to approach God is boldly and confidently, but not arrogantly. There's a difference. You do not boast of your self-righteousness. You do not boast of your accomplishments. You do not boast of your wins. If you have any victory in any area of your life, it's because God empowered you to win. And so we need to approach him with thanksgiving for what he's done. And there should be no swagger. There should be no beating of the chest. There should be no bravado before God. Who are you in the end? Like, we're all going to die. We're all going to be put in a box. And so because we are approaching the immortal God, there should be some humility there. Some humility there. And because the one who is truly righteous is Jesus. And everybody else, if they are righteous, it's an imputed righteousness. It's a righteousness that God, through Jesus, gave to us. The next reason why our prayers might be hindered is because we are robbing God. Malachi 3 verses 8 through 10 says this, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this." And this is the only time where God encourages anybody to test him. That he says the Lord Almighty, "See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I want you to think about that for a moment. There will not be room enough to store it. Here's what he's saying. Your relationship with God is hindered if you're not giving your first and best to God. Jesus will teach it like this: where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. What he doesn't say is, where your heart is, your treasure will go. It doesn't say that. You cannot say that you love God and you treasure God if you don't give to the things that he would ask you to give to. If you don't fund the initiatives that are godly and righteous. You can't say you love God if your pocketbook says something else, if your checking account says something else. And I know that there's all sorts of scandals in the church about how money has been misappropriated and such. So give to a charity or find another responsible church. But don't let that be an excuse to rob God. To rob God. The next reason why our prayers wouldn't be answered is because we're refusing to submit to biblical teaching. This is Proverbs 28, verse 9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Zechariah 7, verses 11 through 14 say this. But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and covered their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations where they were strangers. Their land, the land they left behind them, was so desolate that no one traveled through it. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate. And that's the last reason. But I want to unpack that for a moment. Remember what I said toward the beginning. What was the last thing that God told you to do? And have you been obedient? If you haven't been obedient in the last thing to do, why would God keep talking to you? Why would God answer your prayers? Why would God help you if you're not serving him? He literally says, they didn't listen to me, so I didn't listen to them. I gave them a dose of their own medicine. And so I want this not to be a beatdown, but to be an encouragement. If you feel like you've been praying to God and your prayers have been hitting the ceiling, maybe you have wrong motives. Maybe your heart is not in the right place. Maybe there's some distance between you and God because of your sin. And I would encourage you, root out everything that separates you from God. If you don't feel his presence, if you don't feel near to the Lord, if you don't feel like he is speaking to you, it's because you have walked away from him because of your sins. And there's always time, there's time right now to come back to God. Remove that which separates you from God so that there can be uninterrupted communication with the Lord. God bless, and I'll see you next time.